Hey there, welcome to the Student to CEO podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Mason. We're talking to entrepreneurs who launched their business at a young age and they're now killing the game. Tune in to our episodes as these guests spill the dirt on taking that leap into entrepreneurship just like they did. Hey everyone, welcome to today's episode of the Student to CEO podcast. Joining us today is Juliette Nelson. Juliette is a workplace effectiveness professional, entrepreneur, and published author who is passionate about empowering people to achieve the highest standards of their purpose. She is the founder and CEO of Junori, a company that equips students, professionals, and business owners with the tools and resources to be successful. And she's also the author of Sharing My Lens, The College Experience. Juliette, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Absolutely. I'd love if you could start off by sharing with our listeners what you do and what led you there.
Absolutely. So my name is Juliette Nelson. I am, of course, I'm a federal employee during the day. And then in the evening time, I am an entrepreneur. I remember moving to the DMV area about 4 years ago. And of course, it was my first time moving out of my parents' home. So in looking for some extra cash, I started to tutor. Again, I do have experience working as a teacher, an English teacher in South Korea, and I've been a tutor in the past prior to that. So for a couple of years, I was a tutor, and toward the end of 2017, I remember going on a fast. I had a rough year. I suffered like a really big loss. My best friend had committed suicide, and so by the end of the year, I was just in a very shaky place. And I ended up going on a fast, and it was for a trivial reason. It was actually about a guy that I liked, and I knew I had no business talking to, but I kind of just wanted an answer from God for him to tell me, yeah, this is the guy for you kind of thing. But out of that fast, I got no answers about the guy, but I got Junori. Someone who is now my business partner, I remember us just talking about the different things I was passionate about. Of course, at the time, I was a children's choir director, and I just was involved in so many different things. So I remember him saying that he would build a website for me. And I kind of was like, no, I'll do it on my own time. I don't need a website. I'm okay. And I really didn't care to have my own business. Because I understood how much work went into starting a business. But he's like, I'll build a website for you. And I remember like a couple of days after that, I met with one of my students' families. And in talking to the family, they're like, Juliette, you know, you're an educator. You know, the experience that you give to your students is beyond what just a normal tutor would do, just completing homework. You know, you're a choir director. You have leadership experience. There's so much knowledge and guidance and wisdom that you can offer. Why not bring that under your own belt and start your own business? And so by the end of that fast, I had a website already put up. And by the time March and June began, you know, that was kind of when I really understood my calling with Junori, that I was going to share my passion, my purpose, my triumph, the challenges I dealt with, my pain, and some of the successes, and also just the journey of learning that I've been able to enjoy. So that's Junori in a nutshell. We do provide professional and academic consulting and services. So for students, we provide tutoring, where we actually assess their learning needs and provide a learning management plan personalized for their learning needs. We do provide services with proofreading and editing on academic writing projects, on presentations for professionals. We also provide, you know, coaching on professional development. We do resume building, portfolio building, and so on and so forth. We also have a publishing branch where we work with writers and authors to let their passion and their purpose and their story be shared in their narrative. And we're also working on, you know, a new product that would be provide value to professionals and students. So essentially, our mission is to empower students and professionals and those we serve to achieve the highest standard of their purpose. And so all of those services fall under that umbrella.
I love it. And I especially love the fact that you really help a wide variety of people from all different ages, from these students to adults, and really kind of lead them through what they need to do to be successful in all areas of their life.
Absolutely.
And as you began going through this career of starting your business and everything like that, and I think it's funny that you mentioned that you just didn't think becoming an entrepreneur is right for you, because I feel like a lot of entrepreneurs kind of go through that point in their life where they're like, well, I don't really think a business is actually for me. And then they realize it ended up being such a huge thing for them, like a great big blessing. So as you were going through this, like, what was the most difficult part of starting your business?
So I'm a very, I'm very calculated. Interestingly enough, I recently did a DISC analysis, one of those personality assessments, and it confirmed the fact that I'm extremely analytical and I like to have all the information in front of me before making a decision. And I think that was the big, big challenge for me in starting the business. I had all these ideas. And of course there are roadblocks with domain names and company names and your strategy and so on and so forth. But because I'm so calculated, it was this fight between, I have a deadline, you know, that I want to meet. And I'm very big on setting milestones and goals. So I knew I had a deadline, I had milestones, I had a timeline to it, but at the same time, it was just so much information and so much to process, that it's like, oh my goodness, you know, I'm struggling with making these high level decisions right now. And I feel like I need time, but I feel like I'm running out of time. And I think as an entrepreneur, when you start your business, oftentimes you're rushing so that you have a launch and you just get the product out there. You know, when you kind of make the mistakes and go, you know, figure it out as you go along. But that is also a challenging thing when you're not really taking the time to look at all the information, collect as much data as you need, provide the right analysis, and really kind of map out a strategy and see how you're going to implement that strategy effectively, at least at your best when you start. So all to say, that was the biggest challenge in the very, very beginning. Of course, you know, the next challenge was marketing, right? You have your family and friends that are always going to support you. For me, because I'm in academic and professional development, you know, my services and the marketing could only go so far, at least when it came to my immediate circle. So the next challenge was going beyond that immediate circle, right? The family and friends and network, and really appealing to the general public and trying to get their attention on your product or your service. So, yeah.
And I think that both of those are things that people can totally relate to. I mean, when we're just starting our businesses, we have this struggle of being so excited and so thrilled about what we're going to launch that we just really want to ramp things up and launch already. But then as you mentioned, I mean, there's that huge responsibility that we need to have of making sure everything is done properly. And by that, it doesn't mean that everything needs to be done perfectly, because of course we learn so many things along the way. But I mean, sometimes it's almost like shiny object syndrome, right? Where it's like, we just get so excited about doing it that we just do it. But you made an excellent point that, like, we really need to make sure that all of our ducks are in a row before we go ahead and move forward.
Absolutely.
And also going along with that too, I mean, marketing, I know, is a huge struggle for people of just being able to reach their target audience, because you're right. I mean, we do have our family and friends and our network, but it's like sometimes getting beyond that and connecting with people who are truly your ideal clients and customers can be really difficult for people. So what is one thing you did that kind of helped to get past that roadblock?
Honestly, I'm still navigating that. And it's been a couple of years. I think it's been, January is about 2.5 years old. What I've done, I've tapped into my network of other entrepreneurs and other professionals, and allowed them to be a voice for my company as well. It also helps to find creative ways to demonstrate your knowledge, right? So for me, I published the book, and now people are able to see that, okay, I'm coming with a level of expertise or knowledge or experience. And now it's like, okay, even if I'm not the close friend or family, I'm more intrigued, or I'm enticed to see what she has to offer. So that, and maybe also seeking counsel from an external, unbiased source. It doesn't hurt to seek counsel from even someone else in your network that's good at what they do as a marketer. But that's kind of what I found effective, because I know for me, there are a lot of skills I've been able to take with me or to have and grow to have from my professional experience. But as an entrepreneur, there comes a point where you max out, right?
Absolutely.
And I had to learn that, and I had to lean on those who spend most of their energy on building a marketing strategy, those who've made the mistakes and so on and so forth, and seek counsel from them, and also bounce ideas off of them as well to see how that would work into the marketing strategy for my company.
Absolutely. And I want to repeat something that you said, because I think it's great advice for our listeners to really take and implement. And that line that you had said was, find creative ways to demonstrate your knowledge. And I think that's huge, yeah. Because oftentimes, I mean, me owning a marketing firm myself, I see so many times people being like, social media. They think that like social media is the only thing that can really help to demonstrate their expertise, but there's so many different ways to do so. So I love that you shared that being able to write and publish a book really played into that for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And on the opposite end of the most difficult part of starting your business while young, what would you say was the most rewarding?
I think the most rewarding thing about having your own business, and it really depends on how you carry it out. I think the most rewarding thing is knowing that I'm able to make an impact on my community, and also just strive toward my purpose. This is not to say that people can't achieve their purpose in different ways, right, or in different capacities. I'm just speaking for myself. You know, in my professional life, I've had times where I felt like I always asked myself, Juliet, you know, are you really providing the value that you wish you could provide? Or do you feel like you're being valued? Do you feel like you're truly walking in your purpose? And of course, you know, in my no matter what environment I work in, I try to be purposeful. I try to see how that ties into my purpose and who I am and what I'm meant to do and who I'm meant to be. But at the same time, being able to do something on my own terms, according to my own rules, gives me a little bit more leverage in you know, being more purposeful and really driving my mission and my vision, and the calling that God has placed on my life. And I think that that's been the most rewarding. You know, I have so many days and I'm like, entrepreneurship is honestly for the birds, because it's very challenging. And I think that's something that we need to talk about, right? Because a lot of us, we jump at the entrepreneur thing, and I've seen different things, start a business in 4 steps, or, you know, become an entrepreneur in 5 minutes. You can become a business owner in a week. Because when you're even filing with the state, that takes 24 to 48 hours, even if you submit a filing online for an LLC or corporation. So it's not that simple, right? It's extremely challenging. And entrepreneurship is not just owning a business. It's taking risks to grow, to strategize, and to bring in revenue for your company. And so with all that being said, you know, on days when I'm kind of like, yeah, I hate this right now, I've still been able to hold on to the fact that I have a purpose and there's a mission to this. And there are people who are being impacted, And I'm grateful because I do have a team and I have friends and family that there are times I might message them and say, like, I'm over this. They'll validate it, but they'll also, they also have a very good way of bringing me back and saying, but remember why you're doing this. Remember the people who benefit from this. Remember the people you serve and the lives you impact, and the young, you know, the little Black boys and Black girls that are looking up to you as an example and as a role model and even as a hero because you're able to make an impact in your community. So yeah, for me, that's the most rewarding.
100%. I mean, it's like this whole idea that our business isn't about us. It's about the people that we're serving and the people that we're inspiring.
Absolutely.
So mm-hmm. being able to remember that, as you mentioned, just remember what your purpose is and why you do what you do each and every day, but also being the person to play by your own rules because you don't have to follow someone else's rules. Is amazing. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you're absolutely right. Just kind of having those times where you just remember like your why for starting your company and why you're doing everything that you're doing can be huge. I mean, I actually had a client tell me yesterday, so it's funny that you mentioned it because it's ironic, but I had a client tell me yesterday like some really, really nice words. And she's like, I want you to take those words and like keep them in your mind and store them for when you have a really bad day and need to hear them.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, that is like so powerful because we just need to have more of that in our lives, just remembering mm-hmm. that we're making an impact in even no matter what size it is, we're making an impact.
Absolutely. And I mean, I can't quote it exactly, but they, people do say that, you know, it's better to be in a position in a job that you love because then it doesn't feel like work, you
yes.
know, and this even applies to those who are working a 9-to-5, right? You want to, of course, know that there are going to be hurdles, but your ultimate goal should really be, what is my purpose, right? And if my purpose is to, you know, if my purpose is to really connect with customers, consumers, based on their interests and so on and so forth, and you do that from a marketing perspective, once you know that's your purpose, you're always going to work for that purpose. And so work doesn't always feel as stressful. You don't always feel like you're just doing a 9-to-5 or working for a paycheck because you're working with a vision and a mission in mind. And whether it's, you know, you having your own business or working for someone else, once again, letting that purpose drive what you do and remembering your why, it just makes life a little bit easier and better.
Most definitely. And what you just said reminds me of one of my favorite sayings for student to CEO that I actually have on my student to CEO business cards, and it's purpose fuels passion. And is that not the most
Absolutely.
True thing?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Love it. And Julia, what would you say think led to your success with starting Junery?
I think it's the passion, honestly. I always get this question, what's your unique value proposition? What's your unique business offering? And for me, it's literally the purpose that drives my work, right? Once again, our mission is empowering people to reach the highest standard of their purpose. You know, and for me, I think my clients often see that Junery is not just about, you know, giving you the standard, but it's really also about empowering you so now you can also make an impact. And we're really focusing on our individual consumers as people. We see them as people. We don't see them as numbers. We don't see them as just another customer. And so because of that, we can be more intentional in how we serve them. And you know, the solutions that we provide to them. And I think that's what keeps some of our recurring clients coming back. And I think that's what even interests those who join us, you know, initially, or even refer our services. So.
Right. It's like the whole concept of thinking about people as what they are, humans, rather mm-hmm. than thinking about them as dollar signs. And that's when you end up making more money and getting more clients and customers, when you truly like value and respect the people that are supporting you and helping you to grow your business by either purchasing your product or investing in your service.
Absolutely.
And if you think that there was one thing that you wish you did differently or one thing you know now that you wish you knew then, what would it be and why?
I wish I took my time. I think that's really it. I wish I took my time. I've had to as an entrepreneur, and depending on what you do, you'll find that when you start a business, you have all these great ideas. I always tell people, and my students laugh at me for this, because when I do like a screen share for them to see, you know, their lesson for the day or whatever, if I so happen to be on Chrome, they'll see about 26 tabs open. And that's literally how my brain works, where my brain has like so many ideas going on. And that is, my brain is the 26 tabs plus the 30 programs that are running the computer dry. And, you know, when you start a business, you have all of these bright ideas and so much you want to do. And for some, it might be challenging to fit them under one umbrella. And so for me, I think if I took my time a little bit more, I wasn't as hard on myself going in, I think maybe I wouldn't have to always feel like I was coming back to the drawing board. I know a year after I started, I changed my logo. My first logo is actually, it was a pair of glasses. I love glasses. So it's a pair of glasses. They're in a cat eye shape. They say Junuri in them, and they have like blue, gold, and silver bling on them, because that's just my personality. And for me, it's like, I'm branding, you know, myself, and this is my business, and I don't care. This is my personality. Okay. And then a year later, I'm kind of like, okay, maybe I shouldn't have rushed into that, because, you know, now the glasses does not scream Juliet provides academic and professional development services. It screams, right, Juliet has an eyewear collection. Additionally, guys who see it, unless they ask or unless they're referred to me, they're not coming to me because they saw the logo. And so I had to go back to the drawing board and rebrand. I had to redo my logo to something that was more abstract, where I would allow my customers to really create meaning out of the brand, based on the services and stuff that we provide. And interestingly enough, we do have an eyewear collection that's launching for students and professionals.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, and that's, hopefully it'll be launched in the fall, we're aiming for. But all to say, you know, for me, when I think of when I started and how much in a rush I was, I remember spending hundreds of dollars on just getting a logo to start. And I had several people do logos for me, versus, you know, really taking my time and building a strategy and just allowing the inspiration to flow. Right. You know, being in a rush also caused me to, you know, spend all of this money on marketing. And what I've found is that it's okay, especially when you're doing social media, it's okay to try to market organically before you spend money on advertising, because there's a significant amount of data and analytics that helps provide value to how you advertise.
And, absolutely.
And how you invest in that advertising. But once again, that all goes into really just going at your pace. For me, I'm very goal and milestone oriented. So I'll set a date, and I'll also always come back and say, okay, does it make sense to come and you know, launch at that date or meet the goal at that date? But I tend to be hard on myself when I can't meet certain obligations on the date that I set for myself. But once again, I mean, if I took my time and I said, you know, it's okay if we extend this another 3 months, another 6 months, I think the company would have been in a better position to grow. But everything happens for a reason. So I don't regret it.
I think you made a really interesting point here, because just taking the time to really slow down and take your time before actually going ahead and launching, I mean, it's something that people really need to consider, because as we talked about earlier, we're often so quick to be scrambling to get everything together because we're so excited about our business launching, that there can be so many things that we overlook and do wrong just because we spent barely any time focusing on it. So your experiences of making the wrong logo and spending all this money on your branding and marketing made you realize that if you had just taken the time to actually take the time, then you would have been off at a better place.
Absolutely. And you'll even notice when, as an entrepreneur, I mean, let's think of Apple, right? And Samsung, for example. I know with Apple, they had, you know, the fingerprint unlock feature on the iPhone. And then, you know, you had the face recognition. And when you look at a lot of these entrepreneurs or a lot of the people at the top of these companies or the creatives, oftentimes, you know, these ideas are not something that happened overnight. These ideas were well calculated. But when you're strategic about growing your business, you also have to keep in mind that not every idea is meant to be launched in the very beginning. You kind of have to see how your customers are adjusting to what you feed them in the beginning. And then as you introduce more things, or even as you see that they get used to the first product or the first service that you've given them or the first couple, then you're able to see how they're reacting, what their feelings are, what their engagement is, and what their needs are. And then when you have that idea, you know, that you've said, okay, I'm going to put this on my vision board, or I want this to happen in the 1 to 2 year or the 3 to 5 or whatever the case may be, now you're in a better position to say, okay, based on the data and the information I've collected from my customers and my consumers, now I can ensure that this grand idea and big idea that I have, I can ensure that it's not only introducing something new to improve the quality of whatever they're using, but it also meets the needs that they already have prior to knowing about this new service or innovation. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you just take things one step at a time, then you're able to hear from your clients and customers what they need, and then you're able to launch accordingly and be able to provide them the solution to the problem that they're facing.
Absolutely.
And Juliet, why do you think it's so important for individuals to start a business at a young age specifically?
I'm going to play devil's advocate. I wouldn't say it's important, right? I would say it's important to pursue your passion and your purpose. And if your purpose falls in line with starting a business, I would say it does make sense to start young, only because your mind is so fresh and you're in a better position to make mistakes. It would really suck when you've moved out of your parents' house, you're responsible for keeping a roof over your head and paying your bills and so on and so forth, and you're in a place where now you're collecting all this debt or you're making all these mistakes, right? It's better to learn it when you're younger, especially when you have a lot of guidance around you that can really pour into you and ensure that you're not falling too flat, right? Because of course, as an entrepreneur, there are a lot of falls. How hard you fall, different story, different day. But that's the reasoning I would give, especially if your passion and your purpose has been discovered at a young age. That doesn't take away from the fact that, you know, even if you're older, it's never too late to start. So true.
So true. I mean, no matter what age you're at, you can really follow your passions. But I love your advice of just thinking about where your purpose and passion lie and then moving forward based off of that.
Yep.
Fabulous. Absolutely. Well, Juliet, you've shared so much awesome advice throughout this episode. But now I'd love to ask you that if there was one last piece of advice that you could share with our listeners for someone who may just be starting out, what would it be?
Keep your why and your purpose at the forefront of your mind and let that drive everything. You know, don't focus too much on the social media attention. Don't focus too much on how people are portraying their life or their success. Just focus on yourself, focus on your goal, and you'll be just fine. And anytime the going gets tough, anytime you're, you know, falling wayward or whatever the case may be, remind yourself of your why, remind yourself of your purpose, and also surround yourself with people who are passionate about your purpose and you achieving that purpose as you are. because that allows them to invest in you, whether it's their time, whether it's their mentorship, their advice, a listening ear, whatever it is. You want to surround yourself with a good circle that really and truly believes in your ability to grow and to evolve as a business owner, a professional, an expert, or just even a human being in general.
Most definitely, especially because it's the people who you surround yourself with that will be able to lift you up. And so one of my favorite sayings that I love to always think about is like, I never want to be the smartest person in the room. I always want to be surrounding myself with people who can teach me something and who I can learn from, because truthfully, you can learn something from every single person you interact with. And so having that mindset is huge for being able to grow not only as a business owner, but also a person.
Absolutely.
Amazing. Well, Juliet, thank you so much for being a guest on Student to CEO today. And now I'd love if you could share with our listeners where they could find you online in case they'd like to connect with you further.
Absolutely. So I am on Instagram and Facebook. My handles are Official Juliet Nuri Nelson. Juliet is spelled J-U-L-I-E-T-T-E. Nuri is spelled N as in Nancy, U, R as in Robert, I, and Nelson is spelled N as in Nelson, E-L-S-O-N. Juliet, Official Juliet Nuri Nelson on Instagram and Facebook. I am on LinkedIn for those who would also like to connect with me and join my professional network. And you can follow Junuri as well. Our website is junuri.co, that's C-O, not com. And our Instagram and Facebook handles are the same, junuri.co. On Twitter, it's junuri_co. And Junuri is spelled J-U, and as in Nancy, U-R-I.
Fabulous. And I'll make sure to link to all of those in the show notes in case our listeners miss them, so they can click through from there. But Juliet, thank you so much again for being a guest today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks so much for listening today. I'd love it if you could subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with those who could use it most. For show notes and more information, go to studenttoceo.com/podcast.